Good morning, Evanston Avenue, and good morning to our friends tuning in on our live stream.
I'm Keith, and this is Tina, and I hope you are blessed by the music portion of our worship service. We are so glad to have you here with us this morning.
There is more coming, but we wanted to take a minute during this break to welcome you and let you know how you can get connected.
Whether you've been with us forever or this is your first time visiting, we wanted to let you know there's a place for you here at Evanston.
So while our ushers come up to take our morning offering, Daniel is going to tell you how you can get connected.
Here's Daniel.
Hi, I'm Daniel, and we wanted to let you know how you can get more connected here at Evanston Avenue. For our kids and our teens, we're wrapping up our summer programming, but our regularly scheduled programming starts back up in September, so you'll want to keep your eye out for that. It's coming up faster than you think. For our adults, we have our monthly fellowship dinners and sporting events. But we also have our life groups, which are the best way to get connected. So if you haven't joined a life group yet, you'll want to talk to Pastor Matt, Jeremy, or Jonathan, and they'll get you plugged in with one that's right for you. We have a bunch of volunteer opportunities available. There's a full list on the website, so you can look through and find out which one works best for you. And if you're not sure, then check out our shape test, where you can find out what your spiritual gifts are. So there you go. No matter where you're at, there's a way for you to get connected here at Evanston.
Hey everybody, you all probably guessed that this is the part where we talk about how much is going on at the church.
You probably also think that this is where I'm going to tell you that the bulletin is the best way to stay in the loop with what's going on at the church.
Then you think that I'm going to say, not only that, but it has our handy connection card. You can use that card to get in touch with us. Just fill it out and leave it on the pew when you're done, and the ushers will pick it up for you. But we're not going to do that.
We're also not going to tell you that those of you who are more tech-oriented or watching from home, you can find even more information and a connection form on our website. Don't fade to the website.
We're not going to tell you that the website's the perfect place to find out what's going on at the church and to check it out for our really helpful resources.
Or that you will find an archive of our past sermons and Sunday school lessons with the slides and downloads and everything.
Mm-mm. So now that we've not told you any of that, I guess you could head on over to evanstonavenuebaptist.com, or you could follow us on social media to stay connected.
Today is Semicolon Sunday, and we have a guest speaker. But before that, we do have a few more things to share with you. Well, on September 9th, we will be having our annual pig roast and community worship service at Muskegon Christian School.
We'll meet at our normal service time and have a great time of worship with a combined worship team, and then hear the word from a special guest speaker.
Then after the service, we will enjoy the always popular pig roast. We will need your help to bring side dishes and drinks, but we will give you more details about that as they come.
Most importantly, we will need your support and prayer, because this will also be a great opportunity for us to minister to our community.
All right, that should do it for announcements, so everyone can grab a pen and take out their Bibles.
And if you don't have a Bible, please feel free to take one of ours from the pews. It's our gift to you. Here's Pastor Matt.
Well, good morning. I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward, and we're going to pray for our offering. According to the video, just by way of announcement for those that are regularly worshiping with us, or if you would like to come back, you're always welcome. But September the 9th, we will not gather here. We will gather at Muskegon Christian School, just down Evanston that way, for a combined worship service. We have six different churches from our immediate neighborhoods. We're doing the pig roast and the picnic afterwards. It said bring side dishes. What you need to know is whatever you bring needs to be grab, go, and throw. It's just something that people can take and eat and throw stuff away afterwards, so fruit or anything like that. Please do not bring, your favorite serving dish, because it'll be sitting in the sun for about 2 hours before we eat it. Please don't do that. So, but that's what we would ask of you guys. It's going to be a great time of community and just really living out John 17 together. So hope you can join us on September the 9th. So let me pray for the offering. Father, we love you. We praise you. You have blessed us in so many ways. And this morning, as we return a small portion of what you have given us, Lord, we ask that you receive it in the spirit with which we have given it. Lord, we ask that this offering be used to advance your kingdom here in Muskegon and around the world. Father, as we turn our attention to your word and as we deal with a tough subject matter today, we just ask that your Holy Spirit lead us and guide us, minister to our hearts, bring comfort where necessary. And Father, we just ask that you be glorified and that your hope is proclaimed here today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you, guys. Normally, this is the point in the message or the point in the service where I begin preaching, but today I'm actually not the preacher. As they said on the video, we have a guest speaker, and as you can see, we do have this large semicolon behind us, and so we do have heavier topic to deal with today, and it's something that we as a church, broadly speaking, not just Evanston, but the church in general, typically we shy away from this topic because it makes us uncomfortable. If you're unaware, a semicolon is a suicide awareness symbol. And when someone attempts a suicide or thinks about attempting suicide, they are trying to put a period at a point where it's the end. And a semicolon is a way of saying, no, instead of a period, we want things to keep on going. So that's the symbolism behind a semicolon. So if you see someone with that tattoo, if you see any of us wearing the green bracelets, that has a semicolon engraved on it as well. If you would like one just to show your support, they'll be at the table in the back. We want to encourage you to do that. But one of the questions that might be pressing on our hearts is, why is it important for us to talk about this? And I want to share with you just a little bit of scripture to set up why we're taking a Sunday and dedicating it to a very serious topic. And we read these words from Philippians chapter 2. It says, so then, if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind and having the same love and being full accord and of one mind. Do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. And check out this verse. This is Philippians 2, verse 4. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interests of others. So my friends, here's some of the things that we need to be concerned about just as people who live here in Muskegon. Muskegon County has a 66% higher suicide rate than the rest of Michigan. We do not know why. We don't. But what we know is that our suicide rate is significantly higher. And we know that just across the nation, 1 in 4 people will battle with some kind of mental health issue on any given moment. And a lot of times we as the church are silent about this because many of us as Christians will battle with things, and it feels like the last place we can go sometimes is the church. And we want to be a place where God's hope and God's encouragement and God's community can be felt. So that's why we're taking some time and talking about a very difficult and heavy subject today, one that has touched many people in this congregation. Before we get to our speaker today, I actually have two people that are going to share a little bit of their story. And just to kind of get you in the frame of mind to know where they're coming from, if you could rewind your clock a little bit and imagine that you were in 3rd grade or 7th grade, and imagine somebody coming into your classroom and saying, you need to come with me. Something really bad has happened. And then you found out that your father had committed suicide. That was the news that two of our beloved members had to deal with. And they want to share just a little bit of, not the story of what happened, but just what it was like for them after all of this took place. So I want to invite up Kaylee and Parker.
Now, I have been through some very brutal and rough times in my life, especially in my childhood. And at certain points, a person feels that maybe it's hopeless, and that they have no one to turn to. After our father committed suicide, it felt like the world had stopped spinning and everything started to slow down. The church began then to step into our lives and to start filling a gap that I didn't even think was actually there. And the church was really supportive through our healing process after this very terrible thing that has happened to us. The church started to help us move out of our house and move into another one. And the church's pastor also offered to pay for the funeral, so we didn't have to have that burden or that sadness to go through another bad time. Support from the church should always be present, but it should especially be present when going through a very hard time with mental health issues and suicide.
Just to give you a little more context, it's 7 years have passed since then. So the church has the opportunity to be a lifeline and a huge aid to those suffering from mental illness and those who are left over from suicide, like us. However, at some point, that aid comes to an abrupt end when everyone else is moving on with their lives and you're stuck in the same position. This point came about 4 or 5 months after our father's suicide. The grieving process is, of course, different for everyone, but with suicide, that person chose to leave you, which that, coupled with the trauma of our situation, can trigger mental illness within the victim. I was a perfectly happy and healthy kid who was struck down by depression. But it wasn't until 1 year and 5 months that it presented itself, and the church was nowhere to be seen. We are the followers and children of Jesus Christ, and with that title comes a responsibility to be there for the widows and the fatherless children, and everyone else, really. If the church does not rise up and let the world know that it's okay to not be okay, and that it is the right thing to do to ask for help when it's needed, then who will? The difference between my human father and my heavenly father is that my earthly one originally planned to kill my entire family along with himself and chose to spare my life, when my heavenly father gave his life for me. There is a sharp contrast between humans and God, and we must be the example that is closer to God. Be there for others all the time, not just in their time of need. Removing the stigma that surrounds mental illness should not be viewed as just another thing to do, but as a blessing, because it's one more way we can be like Jesus in this world. Thank you.
Before you guys go down, let me just pray for you guys real quick. Father, we thank you so much for Parker and for Kaylee and for Melanie and for David. And Lord, we just thank you for the way that you've brought their family together. And Father, as these two young people have very bravely shared part of their story, we just ask that your Spirit continue to bless them and fill them and just continue to show us how, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we can walk with them as well. We thank you for them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. As they're grabbing their seats, again, I know this is going to be a heavier day today. We might go a little bit long, and that's okay. But we wanted to bring in a dear friend and someone who can bring God's word from a solid biblical position, but with a little different perspective. So I'm going to introduce Dr. Kyle Thompson. Kyle is the executive director of Beacon of Hope, a biblical counseling ministry based in Holland. It also has an office here in Muskegon. He is a ordained minister and also a licensed professional counselor, so he can speak to a lot of these issues from a very important perspective. So, Kyle, would you bring God's word to us this morning?
Thanks, Pastor Matt. Good morning. It's good to be with all of you. Know how this would impact myself as well, even though I wasn't even preparing for this. Thank you so much for sharing your story. I cannot imagine. We in the counseling industry, we help folks with these types of things a lot. And I'm just wondering if we could just kind of have an idea here amongst us, if suicide has impacted you in some way, shape, or form, maybe directly or indirectly, could we just stand briefly? I'd just like to see kind of what. And I would have to sit down and then stand back up. It's impactful. It is. And there's things that we would say that we might not have known that some of these folks are standing up. But you can go ahead and have a seat. I was first exposed to suicide when I was in high school. I had a classmate that took his life. And eventually, through the process, God kind of led me back to a different career and in counseling, and had the opportunity to form this organization called Beacon of Hope. Beacon of Hope is a biblical counseling ministry. We provide master-level state-licensed counseling services, and the key thing that we do is we do not keep them from anyone. We have not one fee scale. We will see anybody and everyone, and we won't worry about if they can pay for it or not, because we don't bill. We don't get involved in insurance companies or anything like that. And we started that organization in 2002, and God has blessed it, because he knows that there's hurting people, his people. I mean, you can see not just who was standing. There's other things that go on in people's lives regarding mental health, not just suicide. And it impacts us. But God has blessed our ministry the opportunity to, we began our ministry in Holland, just down the lakeshore. And so we now call that headquarters. And we have four other sites now in Michigan. And it's really cool that our fifth site that just opened up this past January is right here in Muskegon. Pastor Matt mentioned the high rate of suicide in Muskegon County compared to the rest of the state. The United States Department of Health and Human Services has earmarked Muskegon County as a top five crisis area for mental health services, meaning that there's more need than there are helpers. And God just opened the door for our ministry to come here to help. So that's a little bit of a background of who Beacon of Hope is and stuff like that. There's a table in the back. If you want to talk to me afterwards about what we do here in this community, I'd be glad to do that. But really want to get to today's message that God has been forming this, and talked to Pastor Matt, and I asked him, I said, so about how long do I have, to speak? And I says, because what I have is probably a three-sermon series that we could actually be talking about. And he says, well, go ahead and preach it. So time matters not today, I guess. We're gonna see where God takes us, because this is important stuff. I mean, we're talking about lives, people that we love, people that we work with, people that we see at the grocery store. There's heartache, and that type of heartache is real. It really is real. And if we were to go forward here, how does mental health actually impact each of us? And putting this together, I was thinking, there's all kinds of words that could come to mind. Of if you were to say, hey, mental health, and maybe that's not a term that you use on a regular basis and things like that, but let me say, if you had a heart condition, would you go to the doctor? You probably would. That's probably a pretty serious thing, and you're going to go to the doctor. And it's a real thing. People will feel for you because, you know, they but if you have, a mental health situation that you may be, and this can start really small. This can start with just some anxiety, maybe a little bit of depression. And if it goes untreated, and there's different types of treatment. I mean, you're thinking, well, I don't need medication and things like that. No, I mean, you could just go see a counselor for a little bit. Do you know the impact of just being able to sit with someone and talk? It's so impactful. Statistics would show that even if you're with a counselor who maybe is not the most well-trained, that has the most degrees hanging on their wall, that has the most knowledge, but if you consistently show up, statistics will show that if you will have 12 to 14 counseling sessions, you will have a 78% improvement rate from when you started, no matter on the skill level of the therapist. Think about that. And you know why that is? Is because you are exposed to human interaction. God created us not to go through life alone. We need to be together. And we need sometimes someone to listen to us. And you say, well, that's what my spouse is for, or that's what my best friend is for, and things like that. How deep do you sometimes actually go in conversations with your best friend or your spouse or things like that? You know, it's all good. You know, you think about the conversations you have in the workplace. I mean, just this week, one of my coworkers asked me, so how you doing? And I didn't answer. And she's like, she turned back around, and she's like, oh. And I says, you know, I struggle answering, giving you just a passive answer when I've just dealt with something in my office that just broke my heart. Just completely broke my heart. I can't say that I'm doing really great right now. But how many times do we just give passive answers like that? Oh, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. And if someone actually gives you their right answer, yeah, I'm really struggling. It's going, you know, they come up with some of those words that are up there, you know. Do you actually catch it? Do you actually take time to think, or you were just anticipating the, oh, it's all good. How are you? Oh, it's all good. And you just keep walking the opposite direction. We're people, we're busy, we live busy lives. And we just cross paths. I mean, if I was to just put you on the spot of how many people you know that you know that you know that you know that you know, that you know every ins and outs of them, could you fill more than one hand? We don't know what people are going through. We just don't. We're busy. We got our own stuff. And this is where it's so important that we don't think that our stuff isn't important either and we're just going to pass it off as not important. Because it is. Mental health will impact us. I mean, there's some statistics that are out there, and these are just crazy stats, okay? But if you think about it, people call in for work for many different things, right? How many actually will tell their boss that my depression is overrunning me today and I just can't make it in? Not too many people are probably going to share that one. But yet, it is so true that people just shut down and they can't get to work. And it's costing American corporations, worldwide corporations, a lot of money because people are missing work. And other statistics show that, mood disorders, major depression, dysthymic disorder, bipolar, I'm having a hard time reading that, are the third most common cause of hospitalization in the United States for youth and adults age 18 to 44. That's quite a few of us right here in this room that fall in that category. And taking a couple of other looks at, I looked up from 1999 to 2014, there's been a 24% increase in suicide in our country. In 2016, this is a statistic from 2016, there was just shy of 45,000 suicides in our country that were documented suicides. That is more than two times the amount of that same year that were homicides in our country. More people are taking their own lives than are having them taken for them. This is serious stuff. This is really serious stuff. And, you know, you're thinking different things that can happen to us and things. When you go to work tomorrow, or wherever you're going tomorrow, maybe some of you are going to school tomorrow. How does someone address you? Do we wear our name on our shirt? Things like that. And I would say my name is Kyle. Okay. I have one of my favorite shirts. It says my name is Dad. I really like that. I like being Dad. That's a huge blessing. But what do you call you? I think we have a slide that kind of gives us an idea of maybe there's some things that, what does describe us? Where do we find our, there's a lot more tougher words than that. I mean, if you think about it, fear, guilt, despair, hopelessness. I mean, it's just heavy, heavy, heavy stuff. It just weighs us down. But it's real. It happens. Every day, you probably come in contact with someone that is struggling with either one of these words or one of the words that were on the other screen, or pick a word. And do we do something with it? Or do we just kind of pass it off and think, well, I just have to push through. Well, I don't know if you know, but when you look in the scriptures for mental health, you go to your concordance and you look up mental health and things like that, you don't generally see that term. I mean, it just doesn't pop right off the page saying, hey, go to this passage, this scripture, and things like that. But there are certain things that have happened to certain people in the Bible that would definitely point to someone who was struggling with some form of a mental health issue. And yet, they persevered. I would love to share a couple of those stories. So if you have your Bibles with you, or use one that's in the rack there. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. And anybody heard of a character called Elijah? You know? I don't know what you know about Elijah, but what would maybe be one of the things that comes to mind when you think of Elijah? I mean, there's one instance that comes to mind for me. I'm sorry, say that louder. Yes, Ahab and Jezebel. And what about the biggest thing for me is where Elijah went up against the gods of Baal, right? And it really, God just rained fire from heaven. That's chapter 18, okay? It's amazing. From chapter 18 to what happens in chapter 19. But starting off in chapter 19, it says this. It says, now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done. And this is, Elijah had done some really cool stuff, working for the kingdom. And he had completely destroyed the prophets of Baal. Completely, just wiped them out. Because of his faith in God. You know, he knew that this story is in chapter 18. You can read that later. But he knew that his God would come through. He had so much faith in his God that he knew that he could pour gallons and gallons of water on that altar and God would still burn everything. Burn right through it. Elijah trusted his God so much. But then we get to chapter 19, and it says, now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah and said this, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of those prophets." He was threatened to do away with him. Well, Elijah got scared. Well, he was a real person. He got scared. He got frightened. He had fear. One of those descriptive words. And he ran. He ran for his life. He was so afraid. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. While he himself went a day's journey further into the desert, he came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and he prayed that he might die. How can you go from having one of the most successful situations in your entire life from turning one page and have it all fall apart? We would call that life. And Elijah was experiencing life. It was happening to him. It was real. Because you can imagine your most successful period of your life, the most successful thing that you've done. And then you can probably think of something that wasn't so successful. We've all had those moments. And kind of think, wow, can I be on top of the world today and at the very bottom tomorrow? I mean, this is kind of what's happened in Elijah's life here. He prayed that he might die. It means he didn't want to be alive. Now, I don't know his intentions here, if he was having suicidal thoughts. But if you think about people who have suicidal ideation, they have the thought of not being alive. It goes through their mind. I don't want to be here. I do not want to be here. Over the course of the last year, I have probably heard that statement from a teenager at least 12 times. At least. From a teenager. I do not want to be here. That frightens me to no end. And when I hear that, I get really nervous. And I start praying, God, help me not screw this up. This is serious stuff. This is serious, serious stuff. You know, the number two leading cause of death for ages 15 to 34 is suicide. Second leading cause. That's just crushing. Absolutely crushing. And at this time, you know, Elijah's praying to God. That's a great connection. God is the best counselor you could ever, 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 ever have. Okay? God is the best counselor you could ever have. He's the almighty counselor. So when you find yourself at your lowest low or your highest high or anywhere in between, take it to God. Take it to God. God listened to Elijah here. See where this kind of goes. It says, I've had enough, Lord. You ever been there? Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the tree and he fell asleep, probably hoping that he wasn't going to wake up. All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and he drank, and then he lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and he ate and he drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and he spent the night. I'm going to fast forward here a little bit. Kind of paraphrase this next section. God came to him and says, hey, what in the world's going on? And then Elijah just kind of gives him his resume. He says, hey, I did this, and I did this, and I did this, and I did this. It was all really cool. And now look where I am. What's the deal? I'm definitely paraphrasing here. But I just see Elijah kind of having this little argument with God, saying, hey, I did all these really cool things for you, and now I'm in this position? They want to kill me? And, okay. God's like, I love this statement. He says it a couple different times. But God says, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? What are you doing here? How'd you get here? And Elijah spiraled from chapter 18 to chapter 19 here in the first few verses hard. This stuff can happen quick in our lives. When something devastating happens, we have different ways of communicating our brain to reactions and things that are happening. Elijah was really struggling with this. He felt that he was doing so good for God that God had to have his back all the time. And for some reason, he was fearing Jezebel. He got scared. And then he kind of shook a finger at God. But Elijah, I think, would be probably characterized as a great man of God. I would say that we would say that. Elijah was a great man of God. But we all have our weak points. We're all humans. We all are. And so we have to, I guess, I want to look at another situation here. Let's look in Ecclesiastes, King Solomon, chapter 2. This is just really good stuff. But Ecclesiastes chapter 2 says this. This is King Solomon. I hated my life. Now, hang on. What do we know about King Solomon? I mean, he was the richest dude ever on the planet at the time. He had everything going for him. He lived in the most beautiful palaces you could ever, ever lay your eyes on and imagine. He had 700 and some wives? Which could have been a little stressful. But he was blessed. He was blessed. And yet, he says, so I hate my life, because the work that is done under the sun was so grievous to me. All of it is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them to one who comes after me. And who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool. Yes, he will have control over all the work into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. So my heart began to despair. Despair. I think that's one of those words. Solomon, despair. It happens. It happens. But Solomon got caught up in his humanness here. It happens to us. Because he was worried about something coming after him and taking over some of the stuff that he was doing, and they wouldn't be as smart as him, and how that all came out. Well, so it sent his heart into despair. When we get out of alignment with where God wants us, emotionally, that takes a huge impact on us. I don't know if you've noticed this or anything with your children as they've been younger and growing up, but when something doesn't quite go their way, well, you might see some of this, or you know, or you might see some flailing. You can see there's some type of an adjustment going on with them. It's just some kind of an adjustment. Well, Solomon was having one of those adjustments right here with God. He was having an emotional adjustment. And yet, it sent his heart into despair. For a man may do his work with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and then he must leave it all that he owns, to someone who has not worked on it. This too is meaningless and a great misfortune. What does a man get for all the toil and anxious? It's interesting. Solomon was anxious. He had anxiety. I don't know if you've ever had anxiety over anything, and anxiety can come and go, you know? But a lot of times you feel this heaviness. It can actually, really, somebody that's having an anxiety attack can think they're having a heart attack. It can be so heavy on you, and you're wondering, what in the world's going on? I don't understand this. You're anxious. And you may actually go to the doctor because you think it's a heart attack, and they check you out, and they say, your heart's good. Well, then you think, oh, that's great. I got a good checkup from the doctor. It's not my heart. I'm all good. But the heaviness doesn't go away. You know, you ever talk about having a heavy heart? Mix that with anxiety. Heavy heart, anxiety. It weighs you down. It does. Solomon had that. A man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. This too I see is from the hand of God. And this is where, this is really cool, where I think this next verse, I think it's verse 25. This is where Solomon comes back and he says this. He says, for without him, without God, for without God, who can eat or find enjoyment? Solomon came around and he's like, hey, I have anxiety. This is real stuff. He accepted the fact that he had it. He's like, okay, apart from God, I'm in trouble. But I have God. I have God. And the really cool thing about being a therapist, a beacon of hope, is everything we do is centered on God's word. It's not contrary to what God would want, of what God would be pleased with. God is the number one ingredient to good mental health. He is. You should start your day here. You should have the middle of your day here. You should end your day here. And I'm generally pretty good about starting my day there. And when I get in trouble in the middle of the day with or clients and things like that, I'll go back here. But you know, you think about it, the craziness of your day and stuff like that, what happens at the end of your day? You're tired, you're exhausted, you're like, oh my goodness. That's not the way to end the day. Because we take that heaviness right to bed with us. Oh my goodness. You know, it is so hard. It is so hard. Can you let me know what my next one is? Here it is. This is King David, another great, great example. You know, if you think about King David, would mental health kind of come? He was a tough dude. You didn't really want to cross him. But yet, he was just an average Joe. Psalm 13, I absolutely love this little passage here. And Psalm 13, paraphrase. David's crying out to God. God, hey, I think you forgot about me. I'm down here. Yeah, this is me. This is David. This is King David. Remember me? I killed the Goliath. I did this. He's giving him a little resume. It's like, I think you forgot about me. Yeah, God, it's almost noon. It's lunchtime, and you forgot about me. I don't know what we're gonna do, but I got sorrow in my heart. Seriously, God, it's weighing me down. I am really anxious right now, and I'm really struggling. I think you forgot me. I so think you forgot me. It's not cool. And now he's shaking his finger at God. You know, God's really cool with this, though. He actually wants us to share this with him. He wants to know the anxiety that you have. He wants you to give it to him. So David's shaking his fist at God, saying, God, you know, this is awful. What's the deal? I've done this, that, and the other thing for your kingdom, and this is how I feel. I'm heavy. I'm weighed down. I have anxiety. What's going to happen? And, you know, God doesn't answer him directly. God doesn't give him a specific answer in this scripture. But what does David's heart do? David's heart in Psalm 13 will calm down and say, wow, God, you're right. You know how the Holy Spirit will just tap on your heart and it'll just speak to your heart and say, hey, calm down, knock it off. I got this. I'm in control. And David's like, yeah, God, that's right, you're right. You do have this. I need to trust you. I need to trust you. Do you know that's one of the hardest things for us to do? Because when you're trusting God or a person or someone else, you have to give up control. Oh, my goodness. But do you know that control will drive you nuts? It will just tear you apart. When you have to be in control of every little thing going on, it will eventually eat at you and eat at you and eat at you. You gotta let it go. And the best way to do that is where David's Holy Spirit calmed his heart and David's like, okay, God, I got this. I'm gonna give it to you. Well, I like to share Psalm 37, too, where David's again having problems, and God's like, will you stop worrying? Will you just knock it off? Stop your fretting about. You know, I got the stinking universe to worry about, and you're just worried about one or two little things. When are you going to knock it off? I ask you to do one thing. Why can't you do it? He just totally put King David in his place. He's like, I guess you're right, God. But then God says, hey, do you know that I want to meet the desires of your heart? Do you know that Psalm 37, verse 4, is whacked out of, we take it out of proportion so much in our day and age. Like, oh, God's going to give me the desires of my heart. Yeah. Do you know that your desires have to match up with God's? And then he'll give you your desires of your heart. And David had a disconnect with God. He had a complete disconnect with God. Because you know, the first part of verse 4 in chapter 37 of Psalms, it says, delight yourself in the Lord. That's a command. Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. It doesn't end there, though. There's a comma. And it says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to take care of you. And in some version it says, I'm going to give you the desires of your heart. Now, we get that confused. We forget the first part, and we're putting pressure on God to say, all right, God, here I am. Got my catcher's mitt on. I'm ready to catch those blessings. Throw them at me. Here we go. No, we got to do our part. What's God calling us to do? What's he calling you to do right now? He's calling each of you to do something. If that's to go to school and be the best student you possibly could be the best athlete you can be, to be the best mom you can be, to be the best dad you can be, to be the best grandma you can be, to be the best grandpa you can be, to be the best worker you can be, what's God calling you to be? And when we fall short, when we fall short of those things, we end up having fear, despair, hopelessness. We get weighed down. It's tiring. Oh my goodness. You know, but God is here to pick us up. You know? He's not here to beat us down. That's not how our God works. Our God wants to lift us up. But we need to delight in him through all our situations and circumstances. And we've been through some situations and circumstances. We have. We have. Some of us are still going through them. It's real. It's hard. You do not have to go through it on your own. First, if you get anything from today, your number one go-to counselor is the God Almighty. Do you know that sometimes to get connected to the God Almighty, you need to step out, take a step of faith in some direction? And sometimes that direction will lead you to maybe a counselor, maybe a pastor, maybe a friend, a coworker. Do not go through this by yourself. Do not. It is one of the darkest, deepest things you will ever trudge through. You do not want to go through it by yourself. God says, you know, hey, give it to me. Because I love you so much. And we need to take that serious. We so need to take that serious. What do we got next? I know I'm a little, yeah. Hey! It's good stuff. God's good. God's here to turn your hopelessness into hope. He really is. He really is. And if you're all confused and thinking, oh my goodness, I got this, that, and the other thing going on, don't leave here without doing something. Do not leave here without doing something. Okay, so Kyle, what is it that I could do? You can pick up a business card on the table out there. You can pick up a brochure on the table out there. You can pick up a newsletter on the table out there. Because here's the thing. You might say, hey, Kyle, you know, everything in my life's going okay. You know, I really don't have a struggle, and I God has been blessed. He's blessed our family beyond measure, and right now I just, how can I help? Well, maybe you can help by just making a gift that will allow an organization in your community to help someone who's at that point. Maybe that's just all you need to do. Maybe that's the something that you can do. Maybe it's getting involved, finding out an organization in the community you can volunteer with. You have to do something. You know, God is about saying, hey, you can't just sit here in life and do nothing. God expects us to be doers, right? Doesn't he tell us that in his word? Don't just merely listen to the word. You're here today, it's great. You're listening to his word. And if you leave here and do nothing with it, goodness, that is not good. Because further in James, it says, he who knows the good he ought to do in his heart and doesn't do it, God calls that sin. And that can get in the way of you helping your neighbor. So don't go out of here thinking, oh, yeah, this is a heavy, heavy topic. I'm struggling with it a little bit, but I'm really actually okay. You got to do something. You so got to do something. I so appreciate your attentiveness, the opportunity to be here. I will be around after the service if you have questions. If you need to get connected to one of our counselors, I'd be happy to make that connection happen. Actually have three of them probably here today. Let me pray with you guys. Just close your eyes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you for the opportunity to be here at Evanston today. Thank you for your words. We know that this is a tough subject. It's a heavy subject, but God, I just sense your presence here to want to lift some heavy burdens here today. So if you're speaking to hearts here today, Lord, I pray that they would find some relief, that they would seek you, that they would just pray to you and say, hey, God, take this from me. I cast it to you because you love me so much. And if they know someone who could use some help, help them maybe to take a card and pass that on to them. Or because we all know people that are broken. We all do. We come in contact with them every day. Help us to be more attentive to the people we do come in contact with, Lord, and just help us to be brave and to be able to do your work the way you would call us to. And we'll pray all this in your heavenly name. Amen and amen.
There we go. Well, my friends, as we close our time of worship, Kyle, you had asked if we could have a video ready.
Yes. Is that possible?
Oh, I think that's possible. I believe so. Okay, we got the thumbs up from the tech guys.
Sweet.
Why was it important for you that we end with this particular song, this particular video?
This particular song is meaningful to me because of working in the mental health industry, of people coming in and they're wearing a name tag of despair, hopelessness, shame, guilt, fear, anxiety, depression. This song is by Matthew West, and it's an opportunity that my name is a child of the King. That we truly hear, when it all comes down to it, that's who we are. And so just watch the words as they cruise on the screen here, and just meditate with that to know that no matter what you're carrying today, you are a child of the King.
Sounds good. And then after the song, I'm going to close us out in prayer, and then I invite you guys, talk with Kyle, find out more about how we can be just a great community of hope and encouragement and restoration for so many people. Amen. Let's go ahead and play the video, and then you guys can chat with Kyle afterwards.
Regret. I'm pretty sure we have met every single day of your life.
name is defeat. I know you recognize me. Just when you think you can win, I'll drag you right back down again till you've lost all belief.
Amen. My friends, probably the best and greatest news that I can give you is this, is that our God has this amazing ability to take us as we are, love us as we are, and transform us into something completely brand new. Amen? That's part of what we celebrated with Trevon. That's part of what you can hear in so many of the testimonies. So I would invite you to give a chance, talk to Kyle. Congratulate Trevon. Please show some love to Parker and to Kaylee as well for their bravery. And let me just send you out this blessing. Could you guys stand? I feel like I need to have you all standing so we can do this properly. Because our God is good, and He gives us peace. He gives us new life. So may God the Father in heaven bless you in every way, my friends. May He send you out from this place covered in the presence of His Holy Spirit, washed in His blood, made new for all eternity, and may He just change you from who you were into who He would have you to be. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go in God's peace, my friends.